I will share with you today a conversation with Ben Dowen, also known as the Full Snack Tester, and because of his Testing of the Day Awards, where he celebrates the testing community every day. In this conversation, we discussed a lot about pair testing, and I'm sure you will enjoy this conversation and find it very useful. Hello and welcome to Quality Sense Podcast. How are you doing today?
Hello, and thank you very much for having me. Today I am pretty good, just getting back off a holiday and looking forward to the week ahead.
Amazing. So my first question maybe is to understand a little bit of your background and your experience related to pair testing. Are you practicing it nowadays in a daily basis? How's your experience with it?
Yeah, great question. So pair testing and pairing, and when you pair with more than two, you can also call it ensemble, is something that I've been doing significantly more of in the last kind of year, 18 months. Previous to that, I have worked in kind of collaborative environments before, but kind of practicing it way more deliberately with exploratory testing and adding some structure and doing this really with intent, probably for about a year and a half now, where I've been practicing this regularly, kind of on a weekly basis.
I do have the experience myself of doing it with a proper structure, as you mentioned, and I would like to hear from you. How do you explain it? An overview for those who don't have any experience with it.
Absolutely. So, I mean, one thing that's first of all is important to note is this is the way that I have experienced pair testing. And I've done this in a couple of different ways. So even myself, I have some variety. And it's important for you to experiment and find the right way to pair for you and the people you're pairing with. I'm not going to kind of promote one correct way to do it. But mm-hmm. The way that I've been doing it, first of all, you've got to kind of make some time to actually do the pairing. You've got to actually, you know, set aside a bit of time to give yourself some space. I tend to find anywhere between 45 minutes and 90 minutes is a good amount of time. More than that, and you really have to break it up into smaller sessions, you need some breaks, right? You know, it's like concentrating as a pair or as a small team for more than that doesn't work very well. It's important to get a shared goal, right? So for me, the way that I do pair testing, I often use the kind of Elizabeth Hendrickson Explore It Charter way of doing exploratory testing, where we have the kind of explore a target, kind of using a resource to discover some kind of information, or a less formal goal, kind of, but still something that we can kind of agree on together, right? And then if it's someone that I haven't paired with before, or it's a relatively new group that hasn't been doing pairing for a while, I tend to find it's more useful to set some ground rules and to kind of explain how things are going to work and go through the process and be a little bit more formal. Whereas as you actually get used to working with each other, as you do these things regularly, you can start to drop the formality and kind of just say, hey, let's jump on this together for a few minutes and we'll do a bit and we'll make some notes and we'll go along.
Do you have some examples of this to share? Like what are you calling a rule for these type of sessions?
Absolutely. So, for example, one thing is, which is something that I use sometimes when I'm setting up the more formal sessions with my colleague, Lizzie Hock, who's really an expert at this collaborative testing, is the idea of a parking lot. So this is the idea that you decide straight at the beginning that we may identify a whole load of things that are off script and outside of the scope of the goal. And the idea is that we have somewhere to note those down and move on quickly. another agreement might be that you more formally set out, okay, we're going to do a strong style pairing where someone is driving and someone is navigating. By driving, I mean sat at the computer, if you're doing this remotely, sharing your screen and kind of inputting things using the mouse and keyboard, controlling the software, and someone is navigating. So it's saying not necessarily every different keystroke to do, but explaining where to go and making the decisions where to go next. Now, you might agree, for example, that you have one navigator and one driver through the whole of the session, or you might agree that you're going to take turns. So these are the kind of things you can set up at the beginning. The other thing that I like to agree on, which is kind of is one of the key things to make these sessions useful, is that you take notes together. And I like to do what I call multiplayer notes. So rather than agreeing one person will take all of the notes, I like to use a tool, something like Confluence, or you can use Google Docs or anything that allows you to have multiple people editing at once. Here are the place we're all going to put our notes down together. We can tidy them up at the end. We can make them more formal. We can put them into whatever system we want. But as we go through, we agree we're all going to take notes. We agree that we're going to revisit the mission, say every 10, 15 minutes to try and stay on focus. And we kind of agree that we're going to question the software rather than questioning each other, if that makes sense. Like, we agree that we're all in it together to kind of be collaborative, and that we're going to all give each other time to think and to contribute. So these are the kind of things. Some of them are more housekeeping about how the flow is going to run, and some of them more about, you know, this is the way we're going to behave with each other.
Yeah, there are, I'm hearing also some things that are related to when you are planning your testing for yourself. Imagine you are not doing pair testing. There are many things that you have to implement, like checking the mission or of your session every few minutes, right? If this is the way that works for you, like agreeing with the other person, okay, this is the way we can work together as well.
Absolutely. And you may also agree that, hey, this is a really early, like, and it may be context dependence, right? So you may decide, hey, this session's really early in the project, or we don't know much yet. Let's allow ourselves to fall down rabbit holes and follow different certain paths, right? So equally, while it could be more structured, you could agree to make it more informal. So it's not that there's a right way or a wrong way. It's that I kind of encourage experimentation to see what works for you.
Yeah, but what I meant before is that it's like you are making explicit some things that maybe when you are testing by your own, you typically do without thinking too much about them, right?
That's exactly correct. And that's one thing that works really well. Why? Because when I say that I do pair testing and I do kind of these ensemble or these group testing sessions, many of the people that I work with in these sessions aren't formally trained as testers, right? They're not. Sometimes they are, and that's very, very cool. When I get to work with my colleagues who are all the quality engineers and doing this with testers, it is brilliant. Definitely do that. But there's a really cool thing that happens when you invite your development colleagues, your design colleagues, your project colleagues, people that you may not have necessarily considered to add into one of these sessions. I've done this with data scientists. I've done this very successfully with what I like to call the doctors that code at Ada, the medical knowledge engineers and the medical quality engineers. So these are people who have a background in diagnostics, in structured thinking, in investigation. They're actually predisposed to being very good at testing, but they aren't necessarily as expert at software testing, and they actually join in with these processes very quickly. But making it explicit, all of a sudden they go, oh, very quickly they'll realize that these things relate to things they already are familiar with. But by making them explicit, it makes it way easier for them to know what role they're going to contribute.
That's incredible, useful to think of how much you can learn from these sessions, right? And you started to mention something that I wanted to also ask you, related to how to find the best partner for maximizing the output of these sessions, right?
Absolutely. And I kind of want to tackle this in two ways, right? So one is, if you have a very specific thing to test, so my two ways are effectively the two variables. The two variables are the thing you want to test and the people you want to test with, okay? And you can vary both to maximize getting the most out of it, right? So first of all, if you've got something very specific you want to test, try and find a domain expert. Try and find someone who has a point of view who's going to be useful to contribute to your testing, right? So that could be that you want to test something from a security point of view. So you go, okay, who do I know that I work with that I can bring in to test this from a security point of view, or from a, in my case, a medical point of view? Or it could just be, who on my team is the person I know is good with databases? Like, I know there's a database interaction here. They know there's something I'm going to be kind of digging into. So it's really about figuring out the essence of what it is you want to test and figure out, okay, who might be helpful, but it's also, I wouldn't limit yourself only to like strict experts, because it's really hard to know, especially in this, from when we're working remotely, which I so often do, what skills and experience people bring from their life experience that can help in a testing session that might not be like formal technical knowledge, right? So it could be, in my case with the domain stuff, clinical expertise, because they've worked with a particular healthcare system before. But it could be, this person on my team can empathize with this type of user really well because they've got some situational experience. Mm-hmm. So the other way to do things is find someone you want to pair with because you want to introduce it to them, because you work with them on the team, because you both have time at the same time. It's convenient for you to test with them. And then find the best thing to test with them, right? So this is the second angle is, find the person you want to test with, then find the best thing to test with them. Now, a time that I've used this very well in the past is set up regular sessions with a group of people. Again, this is mainly the medical quality and the medical knowledge engineers at ADA. So we'd have weekly sessions, and then we decide the thing to test each week. So which is the hot topic we're going to kind of look into. And some weeks there'd be topics that are more medical related where they had domain things they wanted help from me exercising the software to do the testing, and other weeks I would maybe come up with something that's more software related to show them a particular technique and kind of to introduce them or get their opinion on something. Now, there's something I kind of want to throw back at you here, which is, when you say that to maximize kind of the experience, to maximize the thing, it depends what you're optimizing for. And there's so many awesome things you can get from pairing and from testing as a group. It really depends what you want to optimize for that particular session. So it could be you want to optimize for like knowledge sharing. It could be you want to introduce someone who's either new to that particular feature or new to the company or new to your team to the process. Mm-hmm. Or it could be just that you want to build your network and you actually want to meet someone, and you want to meet them over a pair testing session. It's actually a really great way.
Spending time to socialize. Yeah.
It is. And it's one thing that I was actually not surprised by, because I really enjoy it, but very happy that when I got some feedback from the sessions that I was running with other people, is that one of the things they would regularly call out. So one of the things I like to do is at the end of the sessions, take 5-10 minutes just to go around the room and reflect, like take some key takeaways from the room. This is really beneficial for two reasons. One, it helps you do that continuous improvement within how you run the sessions itself, especially if you're new to them and you're doing them for the first time yourself, if you're new to facilitating them. But it also helps you collect what value the sessions are having. And that's really useful. And one of the bits of feedback I used to get again and again was, this is a lot of fun. And this is great being sociable. Again, distributed workforce, a lot of people who typically don't necessarily work at the desk together. I found that by facilitating these sessions, I'd often bring people even in the same team together to do the same piece of work at the same time, who typically wouldn't do that. And they found that just doing the same work with someone else that's similar to what they'd normally do and verbalizing it and watching other people verbalize what they're doing was huge for knowledge sharing, because they're like, oh, That's a really interesting way that you think about this that I wouldn't have thought about. But now that you say it, it sounds really obvious. And I really like that. So it's not just about knowledge sharing of the technical detail of the system, although that's really useful. It's really hard to communicate to anyone how you test without showing them. So that verbalizing and testing is a really great thing to optimize for. So
yeah, and sharing that feedback also, I understand how that helps to give gratitude to the other people for the knowledge they shared with you, or right?
Exactly. It is a really good opportunity to be grateful for other people for joining in and bringing that knowledge.
Related to what you mentioned of what you are deciding to test according to the people, or which people you bring according to what you want to test, do you make that explicit once you start the session? Your main goal, why you decided to bring that particular person to the session?
If it's useful and it's well planned, then hopefully that person knows why they're there and why that's going to be useful. Definitely there's nothing wrong with that. And typically, and I know you want to ask me something related to this, you kind of need to give someone a hook so that they know why they're going to bring value for them to show up, right? Actually, it's really important for you to explain to people why you want them there, not because that's why they're going to be useful and they'll turn up knowing what it is they're going to do, although that's useful, but also because if they're going to invest their time, explaining to them why you think that it's going to be value for them being there, it's really useful. It helps get them involved way easier than if you just go, oh, this is the time for the session and this is what we're testing. It's not enough. You need to build a little bit of rapport ahead of time to let them know what they're in for.
Yeah. On the other hand, I was thinking maybe if you make that explicit, you're adding some sort of bias. I'm here because I have to pay attention to security or the database, right?
That's a good point. And I think that the way to mitigate that is to kind of explain at the beginning of the session that, you know, this is the goal that we're all setting out to achieve. Please pull on everything that it is that you know. Like, feel free to basically ask questions. But it also goes back to that thing that I was saying at the beginning about refocusing. Is it going to be a focus session or an unfocused session? Sometimes you want that anchor. Sometimes you want that bias because it might be you're doing a targeted session and you actually do want that person to come. I'm the security person. It depends what you're optimizing for. It depends what you're targeting for, because if you want it to be broader, if you want to kind of have that less structured thing and people to bring a broader mindset, then obviously, yeah, you don't need to say you're here for this reason. You can say more kind of, you can explain that to them in a broader way. So yes, it would bring a bias. You can play with that a little bit. You don't necessarily have to be scared of that bias.
So I can see how important it is to plan your sessions, to plan who you are going to invite, and that's very interesting. I'd like to take a moment to thank the people at Abstracta for sponsoring and helping me to create this podcast. Abstracta is a company fully dedicated to software testing and software quality that can help you and help your company to push the quality of your products and processes to the next level. Another question that I have is, like, I typically hear about pair programming. Pair testing is not that popular, I understand. I wonder if you motivate your testers to do pair testing because your programmers are doing pair programming. Is there a relationship between pair testing and pair programming in your teams?
So it's interesting. So one thing that occurs to me as you phrase the question, which I don't think I'd realized ahead of time, but I'm just realizing now, is it's very important to bring into this context, my context, that I am a sole quality engineer in my group, in my team that I'm in. And I'm one of three quality engineers within the group that I'm in. And we work with, each of the three of us work in different teams. So in my particular context, it's always, unless I, like I say, have the glorious occasion to work with one of the other quality engineers, it's always the case that I am playing the role within the team of coaching, testing, and sometimes doing the testing, sometimes teaching the testing, sometimes supporting the testing. But what I'm not doing is playing that classic QA tester kind of role of being the gatekeeper testing all the things. The team already have some expectation to be joining in with the testing. Okay. Now, in other contexts, that might be different, and it definitely would have been different in different teams I've been in the past. So that's worth kind of paying attention. Now, in terms of the pair programming, yes, totally related. I'm very lucky that the team I work with in terms of the developers definitely do engage in some pairing with their programming on quite a regular basis. They're very good at that. And sometimes I join them in the pair programming rather than them joining me with the pair testing. Where I would say it's really interesting is, as I kind of mentioned earlier, in terms of choosing the right people, it's not just a dev test pairing when you come to these testing ensemble groups. It's more about facilitating a group of people coming together with a shared goal. And you can use those techniques actually to achieve any task. That ensemble working or collaborative working can actually be applied to any part of software development or other work that can be done collaboratively on a computer. It doesn't have to be related to testing or programming. You could equally do an ensemble or pairing on design work or other things. And actually, in other disciplines, this is just the normal way you work, and you wouldn't call it out so deliberately. If you think about things like a refinement session in an agile team, you often do that as a group of at least a fair part of the team, if not the whole team, but you might not deliberately call it, oh, we're mob refining. it's something that is naturally so obvious that you would do as a group that you're already at a different level of formality because you're familiar doing that task together.
But I understand that that also defines a type of culture in your team. You need to, or there is a mutual influence, right? Because once you start doing these sort of activities together, you are more open to it. There are some people or some teams where I've seen that nobody wants to share something until they are comfortable sharing it. And there are some other cultures where it's okay to share a draft, a very early draft, because I'm safe that if you find any issues or something, we are going to talk and everything is going to be fine, right? So do you see any relationship with the culture for this type of methodologies, let's say?
Absolutely. The two are very complementary, and you're absolutely right that the more I've experienced teams engaging in pairing for one type of work, then the easier the other types of work open up as an opportunity for pairing. And you're absolutely right that when the same arguments tend to be made in terms of resistance for pairing on programming as pairing on testing. And it's always the same argument, and you'll smile when I say it, because it's the same argument every time, and that is time and efficiency. Always time and efficiency. There is no other argument that anyone brings other than we haven't got the time, or it's more efficient that I do it on my own. They're always the argument, and that's true for any collaboration. And in my opinion, it's a great starting point for a conversation, because I believe, in my experience so far, that working collaboratively is a better investment in time and more efficient than exactly what you just described, not sharing things until things are ready. That's exactly right. There's exactly the argument that needs to be made, and the conversation that needs to be had is to build a safe space. Safety is something you said earlier on, and that's a really important thing. You need to build that safety as a team, that you're collectively working together on a shared goal to make the thing a success. You're not judging someone's work or judging the way that they're doing it. If the moment you start with that judgment, people close off, they'll want to do things more on their own, they'll be afraid to bring you things in an early stage. And you're absolutely right that culture of at one end, starting things off from an idea together and working on them together from start to finish at one extreme, and the other extreme, the bare minimum review and show and tell at the end where it's, hey, this is the clever thing that I did and it's finished. And raise a bug with it if you dare, right? Those two extremes, what I'm really trying to do with the teams I work with is take them from wherever they are way further, I guess you could say, to the left towards let's start something where we come up with the ideas together, we work on it together, we succeed together. Like that's the cultural shift, and it does require a big investment in safety. You're absolutely right there.
Interesting. Yeah, absolutely. Do you think these type of approaches are more effective for some specific types of testing? Because I understand many people are practicing it for functional testing. But what about performance, security, or other non-functional properties?
Yeah, so this is a cool one. So I've been having a think about this. So a lot of the testing that I do, it does have a bias of towards functional testing. And a lot of the pairing and this. So I think, you know, it does lend itself quite naturally to functional testing. However, I have had a fair amount of success, and I've seen others have a fair amount of success trying in different ways. And I'll list off a couple of examples. So first of all, with the way that test automation is practiced in a modern way, the lines between testing and coding can often get quite blurred. And actually, I've had quite a lot of success pairing with developers to write, especially integration level automation or performance test kind of level automation, where we've paired together to do that, both to figure out what we're going to test and then to codify it and kind of do that together in a way that I kind of bring some of my testing domain knowledge and they bring some of their coding knowledge, and together we have a shared understanding of what the feature does. That has been very successful. In terms of security testing, there's a whole bunch of techniques that you can use, and I'm trying to remember the name of it off the top of my head, it'll come to me, that are around as a group doing different testing together, and I'll come back to it when I remember the name for that thing. And yeah, so I would say experiment, because like I said earlier on, it depends. If you're optimizing for the thing you're testing for, in which case you need to find the right people to help you out, or if you're optimizing for finding the right thing to test with the people that you're working with. So if you're naturally anyway going to have a testing session with some of your experts who know security testing, yeah, absolutely, you're going to find a way to work together effectively as an ensemble, and you might learn from them. You might not set that up yourself, right? I probably wouldn't propose how to do that. I might do it the other way around. I might go, hey, I'd like to work on some of this, but you know this stuff. You tell me a bit about how we're going to do this. Perhaps I can see how you do it. Perhaps I can observe rather than jump in and facilitate and lead that work.
I'm thinking now that most of my experience working in testing has been related to performance testing, right? So I'm remembering now that we had some sessions. We used to have some sessions where there were many people paying attention to the test execution and looking at different monitoring tools or different indicators. And we were all sharing what we were learning from that execution at the same time. We didn't call it a mob for performance or something, but now that we are having this conversation, I think this could have been some sort of approach to that. And it was amazing to make that correlation of having people with different expertise and at the end achieving something that I couldn't have done by myself or any other person by themselves. And together we achieved something bigger. Amazing. My last question maybe for you is that if you can share some, maybe the most memorable or rewarding experience you remember practicing pair testing.
I absolutely can. So what I actually want to do is to set the scene here is, as I've mentioned kind of a few times, over a period of about a year, I'd been doing regular pairing sessions with this group of kind of technical doctors, medical knowledge engineers. And what I'd actually been doing, so there was actually three teams of these medical knowledge engineers, and what I would do is effectively have one or two people who were relatively regular occurrences, and then we'd invite in another one or two people who are kind of guests in each session, and we'd over time we'd collect more and more different people who had done this kind of session. And one thing I want to call out, which I didn't earlier, is one of the amazing things you get when you have these kind of group sessions is the diversity of thought, right? So this is another way of describing the different people having different expertise. It's also life experiences. People think about things in different ways. And having the different guests come in and immediately be able to contribute things because they think about things in a different way was phenomenal, right? I really got a kick out of it. Every different person that came in straight away would go, oh, but what about this one? No, we've never thought about it like that, or we didn't use this tool before. And it was really cool, kind of have that experience. And like I say, regularly after our sessions, we would do these little feedback sessions at the end where we would reflect. And over time, we got to a point where those teams were actually reviewing the way that they did their testing. And they weren't testing software in the traditional sense of, you know, a feature that you might think of, but the way they're testing is they're actually testing their modeling of the medical knowledge, right? So they are doing testing and there is software involved, but they had their own process that wasn't really a software testing related process. It was a medical knowledge relating testing process. And when we reviewed their testing process, because they wanted to review their testing process, it was those people who I'd worked with along the way who had been involved in those pair sessions, those were the people who brought up, oh, we should do this with pair testing, we should be part of the process. Oh, we should do exploration, that should be part of the process. And to me, that was my absolute best moment, and I had the biggest smile. I didn't have to say anything because I had, you know, advocates who were advocating for the pairing and for the exploration in that group of people I'd worked with. I no longer had to bring up those points and suggest they did it. They were suggesting it for themselves. So that for me was a very happy moment.
Yeah, I understand, because then by experiencing it, by having that experience, they could get more involvement, maybe more engagement with the whole activity and more understanding, right? So, Ben, thank you so much for your time. This has been very, very useful for me. I really believe that I learned a lot from you, and I hope the people listening to this podcast as well. And I hope to meet you in person someday.
That would be a lot of fun. I hope to meet you as well. Thank you so much for having me on. It's been my pleasure.
Bye bye. See you in the next episode of Quality. We'll be right back.